We will be going to Mark chapter 9 this morning, but I want you to have 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11 marked as well. We will make a notation from that at the beginning, and we will refer to it again later on. This morning we consider the service children render to adults. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for children. We thank you for Jesus' testimony, how he loved the children, wanted them to come unto him. And he used the children to teach some lessons. As we look at that this morning, help us to have ears to hear and hearts to understand. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We start our life as helpless infants. We're born that way and remain that way for some time. As we grow and develop, we are dependent upon others in varying degrees as we grow through the years. As young children, we need to be taught and instructed and guided and helped to learn how to live ultimately as responsible adults. But at some point in our growth, we can't wait to be teachers rather than to be taught. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, it says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child." But here's the part that we can't wait for. "But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Especially as we get to be older teenagers and young adults, we really get anxious to put away all of those childish things. We want to be adults. And then we hear Jesus and he says, there's something for us to learn from children. Young people, you do still need to be taught. There is much to learn about becoming a responsible adult. But adults, according to Jesus, there is something from children we really need to learn. So, in light of that, let's go to Mark chapter 9 and begin in verse 33. Mark chapter 9 and verse 33, "And he came to Capernaum, being in the house. He asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" So they've been traveling through Galilee. Capernaum was kind of a resting place for them, a headquarters, so to speak. And as they were walking along, Jesus is probably out in front of the disciples and other people are crowded around him. The disciples are huddled together a little behind and they are disputing. The word disputing means to have the kind of conversation where not everyone agrees and everyone is trying to make his point more emphatic than the others. You know what another term for that is? They were arguing. They were arguing. What were they arguing about? Jesus wants to know. Well, he knows, but he wants them to tell him, verse 34. But they held their peace. They were a little embarrassed to admit to Jesus what they were arguing about. They held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. This would not be the last conversation the disciples would have on this subject. They were convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. They were convinced that Jesus was going to bring about the promised kingdom. And they were beginning to imagine what the administration of that kingdom would be like. And they are Jesus' special disciples. And so they begin to see themselves having important roles in the administration of the promised kingdom. And they're each one wondering which one of them is going to have the highest position, which would not only be in the administration of the kingdom, but would put one of them over the other disciples. Who is the greatest? Do you know this is a common concern in humanity? Who's going to be the king? Who's going to be the president? Who's going to be the chairman of the board? Who's going to be on the board? Who's going to be in charge? Takes a lot of different forms, but it all comes down to the same thing. Who's going to be the greatest? We see this same kind of dispute going on in our government right now, don't we? Democrats versus Republicans. Congress versus the president. Judges versus the president. Investigations, accusations, tweets, whatever those things are, I have no idea. The media taking sides, all disputing about who is the greatest. We even see this kind of thing go on in churches. Oh, yeah, it's there. Power struggles in churches are something very common. Who's in control? Who's in charge? Who gets to set the agenda? Who makes the decisions? Who should be the greatest? This would be a repeating dispute among the disciples. This particular context, Mark chapter 9 and verse 34, takes place about the midpoint, but a little earlier than midway through Christ's third year of the ministry. And 6 months later, 6 months after this particular argument, we have Mark chapter 10, verse 35. 6 months later, Mark chapter 10, verse 35, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we should desire." And you can almost hear Christ's tone of voice as he responds to them. And he said, "What would ye that I should do for you?" He knows what's coming. He's had this conversation with them before. You can almost see Christ rolling his eyes. Have you ever done that? Rolled your eyes like, oh boy, here we go again. Verse 37. "They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask." Yeah. Verse 41. "And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John." Can you see the fire in the eyes of the other disciples? And I don't even know how James and John would react if Jesus had said, "Okay, James, you're on the right and John, you're on the left." And John will say, "No, wait a minute, I wanted to be on the right." Who should be the greatest? Well, Jesus had a lesson to teach them back in chapter 9. And verse 35, they never said anything, but he knew what they had argued about. He had that ability to know. And he knew. They held their peace. They were embarrassed about the fact that they had argued among themselves about who should be the greatest. They didn't say anything, but he knew. And so in verse 35, he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Now this is almost the same as when Jesus said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The key to understanding what Jesus is saying is in the definition of the word desire. This particular word, desire, is a very strong word, suggesting that there's something within the person that is pushing him to go after something without regard to whether it is rational or appropriate. I want it and I must have it. So Jesus says, if you insist on being first in line, if you insist on being in control, if you insist on having your way, if you insist on being the greatest, just because you want it, you are going to be greatly disappointed in the kingdom. I remember seeing this actually happening. It happened many years ago, and I don't recall the exact circumstances. I don't remember if it was children or if it was teenagers, but it was in a children's program. It might have been at camp someplace where the young people were told to line up single file because something very special was going to be granted. And you know how children are. When you tell them to line up single file, they all want to be first in line, right? So there was the scrambling. And if they couldn't be first, they wanted to be closest to the front as they could because they wanted to be the first ones to get this special thing. And so they got them all lined up. And as soon as everybody was finally in line, single file, the leader said, now everybody do an about face. And the person who really desired to be first ended up being last. Jesus says that's the way it's going to be in the kingdom. To drive home the point, in verse 36, he took a child. Small child. Set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. What does Jesus mean by receiving a child? Well, consider what it takes to receive a child. Does it take greatness and the abrasiveness that comes with greatness? Or does it take gentle humility? Look at the picture that Jesus gave to his disciples. He picked up the child and held him in his arms. Was he rough? Gruff? Give me that child. No. Gentle. And if you're going to pick up a child, what do you have to do? You don't stand there nice and tall, say, come here, child, and expect them to jump up into your arms? Or do you have to bend over to them and gently pick them up? Children are fragile, both physically and emotionally. Gentleness is required to receive a child into your arms. Humility is required to receive a child into your care. For in receiving a child, you recognize this is not a person that's going to add to your greatness. This is a person who needs your care. Jesus' point is this: when you can humble yourself to make whatever sacrifice is necessary to care for and ensure the welfare of a dependent child, and you do this in my name, in other words, you do this in light of who I am, then you understand me and my mission. Because I sat upon the throne in heaven, high and lifted up, the lofty God, but I made myself of no reputation to come down here to you, to receive you unto myself, to care for you in ways you cannot care for yourself. The disciples totally missed the point. They didn't get it at all. Just a reminder, verse 37, what does he say? Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. Would you please go to Mark chapter 10 and verse 13? Mark chapter 10 and verse 13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples received them unto the... They didn't, did they? And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Oh, no, we can't have children bothering Jesus. What did Jesus just say? Didn't Jesus just get done telling his disciples that there was a vital spiritual principle associated with receiving children, and now they won't let children get near him? Once again, you can see Jesus rolling his eyes. How many times do we need to hear the same point over and over again until we get it? There's a story about a preacher who preached a sermon. And the next Sunday, walked into the pulpit and preached exactly the same sermon, word for word, that he preached the Sunday before. And the third Sunday, he came into the pulpit and preached exactly the same sermon for the third time. Finally, one of the men of the church approached the pastor and asked him, "When are you going to preach a different sermon?" And the pastor replied, "When you start living this one, I'll preach the next one." I think that's how Jesus felt with his disciples. "I've got to teach you the same thing over and over again. When are you going to get it?" So Jesus decided to teach the same lesson, but in an entirely different way, but still using children. Mark chapter 10, verse 14. "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased," there's the rolling of the eyes, "and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms. Now this time, he's not talking about receiving the child, but he's talking about receiving the kingdom as a child. So now Jesus wants me to become like a little child in order to receive the kingdom. by application to us, the gospel, or in the Christian life, anything that he has said in the Word of God. I mean, didn't we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11 at the beginning and say, now I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I'm an adult. I put away childish things. It's time for some greatness. And Jesus says, he wants me to take up some of those childish things again. Why? Well, let's consider what the difference is between adult speak, adult understanding, and adult thought, and child speak, and child understanding, and child thought. Regarding speaking, adults use big words in complex sentences. Children use small words in short sentences. Adult speak can be complicated and confusing. Child speak is usually simple and plain. Regarding thoughts, adults contemplate the great complexities of life, and children simply accept life as it happens. Adults grapple with mysteries and philosophies, and children see things as they are, sometimes with blunt honesty. Regarding understanding, adults are able to convince themselves that they have life all figured out and they get it and they know everything they need to know to be great. Children's minds, on the other hand, are like sponges. They know they don't know much and they want to soak it all in, to learn, to find out, to be taught so that they may grow. Jesus says, receive the kingdom. Or by application, the gospel, or by application, anything he says in the Word of God, receive it as a little child. Don't approach the truth with your complex contemplations. Don't make the truth out to be something deep and mysterious. Don't assume you know what you don't know. Come to the truth in simplicity. Would you consider with me 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. In simplicity. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Second Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3 says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. This is childlikeness, simplicity. The virtue of one who is free from pretense and hypocrisy, not self-seeking, and has openness of heart. And simplicity is the spiritual medicine that will remove from your heart the desire to be first and the desire to be greatest of all. We as adults make things entirely too complicated. And while we think we've got it all figured out, we just confuse the matter altogether. An adult says, the manifestation of the existential paradigm is infinitesimally larger than the exponentially evolved humanistic peon. Indeed, this precept is fundamentally beyond the cognizance of any finite mind. And a child says, I don't get it. And the adult says, "That's what I just said." Christian life doesn't have to be complicated. There is simplicity in our relationship with Jesus Christ. God says it, we believe it, and we do it. It's that simple. Children, it is very important to us that you be children. There are a lot of things in this world that can take your childhood away from you and make you grow up entirely too quickly. Adults in this world need children to be children. We need you to use small words and short sentences. We need you to speak simply and plainly. We need you to accept life as it comes to you. We need you to see things as they are and sometimes do it with blunt honesty. We need your minds to be like sponges, ready to soak it all in, to learn, to find out, to be taught, so that you may grow. We need you to speak and think and understand like children, so that we as adults can remember what it's like to be childlike. Because we forget. We grow up. We put away childish things. We're concerned about greatness. We make life complicated. And Jesus says, if we don't receive his word as a little child, we're not going to get it. Adults, being the greatest is greatly overrated by the flesh. It isn't that great to be the greatest. It comes with a lot of competition and a lot of headaches. You remember that game, King of the Hill? It was a real game we played when we were children. And I remember playing it on a great big pile of dirt. When I was a child, they were still beginning to build these developments, and there would be a lot of construction going on. You know, developments are a common thing today, but they were a new thing in the 1950s when I was growing up. And there would be these great big piles of dirt, and kids would come, some of them I didn't even know. I don't know where they came from. Kids would come from all over, and they'd want to ride their bicycles up and over it, and once in a while we'd get into that game of King of the Hill. You know, you have to stand on top of the hill, and if you can prevent anybody else from taking your place on top of the hill, you're the king. You're the greatest. But it's a struggle because you have a whole bunch of other kids coming up the hill trying to knock you off. No, greatness isn't that great. Comes with a lot of headaches, a lot of competition, a lot of struggles. Adults, Jesus wants us to learn something from children. Approach life very simply. Don't see people as potential subjects to your greatness. See people as possible opportunities to care for them, to help them, to serve them, to do things for them they cannot do for themselves, just like Jesus did for us. Jesus wants us to be like spiritual sponges, ready to soak in all of his words, to learn, to find out, to be taught, so that we may grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. give up the struggle for greatness. Let God decide who's in charge. In fact, the key to stable leadership in the local church is for all of us, including those who are in leadership roles, to remember this is Christ's church, and He's the head. He's the greatest. He's in charge. We're all His servants. Let's not make things more complicated than they have to be. Let's receive each other as we would receive a child, with gentleness and humility. And let's approach life in simplicity. Read His word. See what it says. Accept it just as you read it. And live it. And children will remind us how we ought to approach our Christian life. So children, just keep on being children. Putting away childish things will come soon enough. Sometimes you'll look back longingly on those days. I grew up in a row house, little teeny tiny yard. Now we have a great big huge yard. And sometimes while I'm riding the mowing tractor around on the property, I kind of daydream what it would have been like as a child to live on that property and play. Almost tempted to play sometimes. Adults, let's watch the children be children. And learn from them how we are to approach our Heavenly Father and His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for all You've done for us. For these simple lessons. Sometimes as adults we get so weighed down with the complicated things in life, we forget what it's like to be simple. I pray for our children that You would protect them in their childhood, that they can be children and enjoy their childhood as You've given it to them, and that we would learn from that simplicity, how to be Your children, even as adults. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.